In the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. Well, it's a delight again to speak with you about what the Lord's put on my heart. And when I came in, I saw Arthur. I expected Jeremy, and it just is great to be working again with Arthur because we were at St. James together for a year. And as a matter of fact, when I came to the diocese in 1991, and so did Arthur, we were assigned by Jack Beckwith at the diocese to be prayer partners. And so we met together near the crosstown at an Arby's or at a Friendly's and ate curly fries together as we shared our lives and were prayer partners. Today I want to talk to you about something that, again, is my growing edge in a way, the third part of it. And what I entitled the sermon is, Lord, live your life through me. Live your life through me. And in our epistle today, in the letter that Paul wrote to the Corinthians, it says, don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? And I thought about asking the kids, you know, what's a temple? But I didn't want to lose control. But a temple is a sacred place. It's a holy place, a place where God dwells, or at least that's what people think in terms of a building. But what it says is that God has chosen to dwell in us. And so that's the verse I want to focus on, but also the theme that I want to focus on is Christ gave his life for us so that he could give his life to us. Christ gave his life for us so that he could live his life, so he could give his life to us. It is confusing, isn't it? So that he could live his life through us. So for, to, and then through. John Claypool was a preacher who came to the diocese. I saw him John Barr had him up in Sumter. And he has a wonderful little book for preachers called The Preaching Event. And it was a series of lectures that he gave to Yale University on how to preach and what to preach. And so he asks the question, and tells his audience, you know, what is the story that we have to tell? What is our story anyway? And he goes way back to the beginning, and this is what he says. But what is the story we have to tell? It begins in the very beginning with the image of a God who found his own aliveness so overwhelmingly joyful that he decided it was too good to keep to himself. He said, I want others to taste something of this ecstasy I'm experiencing, and therefore I will create, not in order to get something for myself, but in order to give something of myself. And I will call into being creatures who are capable of my kind of joy. Thus, the story begins with an image of primal joy and the assertion that creation at the bottom was an act of generosity. And I just love that Claypool begins there because he emphasizes God's intentions towards us, that they are good, that he loves us, that he is for us, and that God has a secure destiny in mind for us. He wants us to be in his household and calls us to himself. I remember that Kendall Harmon came to St. Philip's and gave a talk on the life of Eugene Peterson. And Eugene Peterson was a preacher for 30 years, and he wrote some 30 books. And his son apparently gave the eulogy for his funeral and said, here's the summary of what Eugene has been trying to tell people. He says, this is it summarized in 4 lines. God loves you. He is for you. He's on your side. He is coming after you. And he is relentless. Imagine 30 books to try to say that. But that's what that's his son said. This has been his message. God's intentions towards us are so good. But from reading the Bible, we know what happened. That God's intentions were dashed because Adam and Eve sinned. And he warned them, eat freely of all these trees, but not that one. In the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. Now, that was not a threat. It was a description of what would happen to them, that they would die. It meant if they died that they would cut themselves off from the source of life, and they died spiritually. Like cut flowers, they would bloom for a while, but still be doomed to wither and to die. They no longer had their roots in God. They needed to be repotted, in a sense, because sin made them incompatible with the God who is totally good and who had such good intentions for them. So they lost their intended destiny, and this affected all of us, and all of us were born under the destructive power of sin. And what we need is not just forgiveness, not just an acquittal. We need a new life is what we need. Our own lives by ourselves were doomed. So Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to our rescue. And Jesus' plan was this. He said, I'm going to swap lives with you. And the ancients from the Orthodox Church put it this way, way back when they wrote it. They said, the Son of God became a son of man so that the sons of men could become the sons of God. An exchange was going to happen. I'll give you my life, Jesus, and then you give me yours. And he came and he lived as an obedient son of the Father to offer to God a life that all of us human beings were intended to live in the first place. Was what God intended for us. And it was a perfect life, fully loving God and fully loving neighbor. And he never sinned, but he came to assume our sinful lives as though they were his own and to assume our death as well. Paul says God made him who had no sin to be sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Jesus swapped lives with us. John Calvin, the great theologian, put it this way in something he called the wondrous exchange. And he says, godly souls can gather great assurance and delight that whatever is Christ's may be called ours. As a consequence, we may dare assure ourselves that eternal life, of which he is the heir, is ours. And that the kingdom of heaven into which he has already entered can no more be cut off from us than from him. Again, that we cannot be condemned for our sins, from whose guilt he has absolved us, since he willed to take upon himself as if they were his own. This is the wonderful exchange which, out of his measureless benevolence, he made with us, that becoming son of man with us, he made us sons of God with him, that by his descent to earth, he has prepared an ascent to heaven for us, that by taking our mortality, he has conferred his immortality upon us, that accepting our weakness, he has strengthened us by his power, that by receiving our poverty unto himself, he has transferred his wealth to us. And taking the weight of our iniquity upon himself, he has clothed us with his righteousness. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. Michael Kelly Blanchard is a songwriter and a poet, and he wrote it this way. Oh, the simple gift of grace that only costs yourself. Even Stephen Swap for who you were. Make the trade and put all your worries on the shelf. The blessing is a bargain, that's for sure. Christ gave his life for us so that he could give his life to us. How do we get that new life? All that we have to do is agree to the swap. You give Christ your life, and he gives you his. As he said in Matthew chapter 10, whoever finds his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. If you want to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you let go of your life and take up his, you will gain the real deal, eternal life. And Jesus does this literally and actually by creating a new life in us. I don't have time to go into baptism, but it's such a picture of going into the water as one person and then coming back out the other side. And before you get out of the water, you take a deep breath because you've been under the water. And that's the Spirit of God that comes in and makes that a real life change for you, not just in picture form. So Paul says to the Corinthians, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You belong to God, so glorify God in your body. And the significance is that when you give Jesus your life and invite Jesus into your heart by faith, that we become sons and daughters of God. And we literally carry his DNA in us. We carry his presence in us. And that's what the glow sticks was all about. I don't know if I got that through to the kids. Yeah? You know, you open your heart a crack, and in a sense, that's kind of what it takes, is that you can't rely on your own self-reliance anymore. You have to let God crack you open, and then his light floods in. It's striking to think that this is also one of the images that happens in Holy Communion. Think about it. When we take the bread and the wine into ourselves, we remind ourselves that we carry his divine life into the world as we go out. We take him inside of us. Like the candle service in the parking lot that Arthur led last week, through taking our candles, we are taking the body of Christ and his blood shed for us out into the world. He lives. He lives in us. Jesus gave his life for us so that he could give his life to us, so that he could live his life through us. And this is the growing edge of my Christian life, is the adventure of living in collaboration with Christ. Christ living his life through me. The Christian life is an incarnational life because we embody God's life. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? Many times during the day I say this short prayer, Lord, live your life through me. This doesn't mean that I no longer use my energies or that I abandon my responsibilities. It does mean, though, that I want to work in partnership with God, and that I want him to be the principal player in all that I do. I'm going to close with this. One of the most distinct experiences that happened to me with Jesus living his life through us happened while I was at St. Andrew's Church, the first parish that I served. And it was nearing the end of the day, and I had to go visit somebody in the hospital, but I didn't want to go. I didn't want to go. Why? Because I was tired, and I don't like the traffic, and I don't particularly like hospitals. So I just was like being a real dud about the whole thing, I have to admit. But I heard a thought that ran through my mind that said, well, I'd like to go, if you don't mind. Would you take me there? And I realized that it was not about me, that I was to carry Christ in my body to that man's bedside, and that Christ wanted to touch that man's life through me. And our privilege as Christians is to carry Christ's life into the world. Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? Jesus gave his life for us so that he could give his life to us, so that he could live his life through us. Let us pray. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for making this possible for all of us, that you did not leave us, but that you have fulfilled your good intentions toward us by sending Jesus Christ to save us, literally to save us. And Lord, we want to make him Lord of our lives and to surrender our lives to him so that he can live his life through us. So come, Holy Spirit, and make that real. In Jesus' name, amen.
Given you my heart, all that is within, lay it all down for the sake of you, my King. Given you my dreams, laying down my rights, giving up my pride for the promise of new life. I surrender all to you, all to you. And I surrender all to you, all to you. Singing you this song, waiting at the cross, and all the world holds dear, I count it all as loss for the sake of knowing you, the glory of your name, to know the lasting joy, even sharing in your pain.